Well, I feel like the Lord gave me a little thought for this ending message. So I desire your prayers. I want to talk about failures. We don't, of course, preach failures. We believe that God has sufficient grace for us to be victorious in life. Yes. And believe that the Lord made a way for us to do what we need to do. He'd be with us to give us grace. But he also gave us language like, I would that you sin not, brethren. But if you do, you have an advocate with the Father. I'm glad today that this isn't a one-shot thing. I'm glad that God has a redemption plan that can take care of every place in our lives. Failures can be really devastating to a person that's sincere. Someone that really cares about living for the Lord and wants to do right and doesn't want to bring a negative to the cause of God. A failure can really be devastating. I'll admit that there's been a few times in my experience that I prayed to the Lord and said, punish me if you must, but don't allow this to hurt the cause of God. Yes. I didn't want the image of failure to be pasted on the Christian experience. But God has a victory for us, but there's times that failures are a part of people's lives, and I like to look at it a little bit so that we would understand that it doesn't have to be devastating. God is still God. A scripture over in Proverbs, 24:16, it says, for a just man falleth seven times and rises up again. And this is the answer. This is the answer to what happens after we have failures. There's a lot of things that we could say about not getting to the place of failures, but I want to deal with the idea that sometimes we aren't always there. And sometimes failures happen into our lives. Sometimes we can just get a cranky and kind of I would say unpleasant disposition about us and say things off the cuff that we wish we hadn't said. And we might feel bad about that, or we might take a hard position about something and realize when we got through that that really wasn't a very Christ-like stand that I took, a position like that. And for those that are sensitive and sincere in life, those things can be devastating to you. It hurts to think that you hurt the cause of God. It can go deeper than that. You can get to the point to where you haven't been prayed up and don't have the grace, don't realize that you're really getting to that kind of place, and your failures can be a little bit more serious than that. But they're all failures. There's places that God doesn't want us to give up. It says a just man falls seven times, and he arises again, and he keeps getting up, and he keeps getting up. You know, we all need to settle in our minds. I am determined to see the end of this thing. Our song, in our songbook, you may have to help me out, 223, I mean to go right on. I mean to fight the fight of faith until, what is it? I mean to win, what is it?
Life on earth is done.
Until life on earth is done. I mean to go right on.
Amen.
I mean to fight the fight of faith. I'm going to keep going. Yeah, there may be some ups and downs, maybe some places to where I didn't do it right. Folks, do you know the Lord has given the spirit of humility for all those times? The best way to deal with the failures is honest as we can possibly be before the Lord, of course, but before others if we have to. There's a place. I don't want to say that failures are what we're supposed to do by any means. But do you know failures can actually be a place of getting further along? Because failures a lot of times will tell you where you're at. It will shine up sometimes. This is really what your position is. And you can get over those failures many times with more determination. When God has come and blessed, and get over that and have more determination to go on. This says seven times. Now that ain't by chance, folks. Seven times in the scriptures is always the complete and whole number. When it says seven, you can usually say it doesn't matter how many times. This is trying to say that a just man keeps getting up. And he can fall the maximum. But the thing is that he's always going to get back up. I read this several years ago, and forgive me for not having the numbers exactly right. I'm not exactly sure what they was, but I remember maybe it was in a dentist office or something, but I read in a magazine, and they was encouraging young people to stay in school, to keep going, not to be a dropout, not quitting. And the statement was from what was arguably the best basketball player ever in history. It was Michael Jordan. And there was supposedly a quote there from him that said something like, 134 times I was called on to make the game-winning shot and missed. Michael Jordan. And he was trying to encourage him that he went on in his basketball. He didn't let 134 misses dictate what the rest of his life was going to be. He became very successful as a basketball player, and it was partly because he missed sometimes. You know what missing makes you do? It makes you practice. You know what missing makes you do? It makes you work harder if you're sincere about it. It makes you just say, I'm not all that I think I am. I can miss too. You know everybody here can miss? Everybody in here can miss. Everybody in here can get into places. We're all human and we realize, I need the Lord to help me in all of this. A failure shouldn't be the end story. It doesn't have to be the end chapter of our life. It can be a part. And you know what? There's times we don't glorify failures. But there's a time that we glorify the Lord from helping us over failures. God, I used to be this failing person that failed a lot. Now, I don't put Sister Maxine on the spot, but you ever hear her testify that when she got saved to go back no more? Never quit no more. What does that mean? It means that there are some times it wasn't like that, but there come a time it was. There come a time, that ain't the end chapter is that I failed. The end thing is supposed to be, as Paul said, and we'll get to some of the things of it, but Paul ends up saying, I fought a good fight. I'm ready to be offered. I fought a good fight. I've finished the course and I've kept the faith. Yeah, I had a lot to go through to get there. A lot of things. I wonder in my mind sometimes if Paul ever regretted the little skirmish over Mark. I mean, who couldn't? I mean, you're representing the Lord. There was a skirmish. There was something going on there. Could he not? I ain't saying who's right or wrong. I'm just saying that those kind of things can make it, you know, we care about this. I don't want to fail. But failures happen and they hurt and we don't want to deal with them sometimes, but it isn't anything to quit. We don't want to quit. One scripture there's actually two scriptures. One of them, I believe, was told maybe to Joshua back in that time, or one of the Old Testament scriptures, and it's a New Testament scripture that says, quit ye like men. You know, always thought, quit ye like men. You know what that's talking about? Men don't quit. Men don't quit. Well, wait a minute, that's painful. It don't make no difference, it's painful. I don't quit. You get a hold of something, you pull it till you get there. You don't quit just because there's a problem. You don't quit because the weather's bad. You don't quit because you're feeling bad. Hangnails don't do it. A headache don't do it. Nothing does it. I do it. This is what a man does. You keep doing. Quit you like a man with this. I'm determined I'm going to go all the way. And so, yeah, devil, there may be some failures. I want to tell you what the devil's going to do with your failures. He's going to blow them up and use them against you all the time he can. And make you feel like you have nothing to offer anybody. That's not true. You got something to offer. But you got to get to the place and overcome that failure by the grace of God. Say, I'll not go back. Well, that one again. So I want to think a little bit about failures. Today there were some people in the Bible, different ones, that had failures that we can look at. I want to look at one of them that's in, let me see. Matthew 26. Verse of the 26th chapter of Matthew. It says, "Now Peter sat without in the palace, and the damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee." Now I lay a little bit of foundation here. Peter seemed to be the, the outspoken one of the crowd. He was the confident one. Probably of all of them that needed this to happen, he probably needed it more than the rest of them. He's the one that told the Lord, "Not so." He's the one that told the Lord, "The other ones may go back on you, but I'll die." they may go back, not me. I'm here. This was really hard on Peter. Peter loved Jesus. Peter had given up his way of life to follow Jesus. He had spent the years. Peter saw miracles. He saw God work. He was in. Peter was in. All in. I'm giving you this. Peter wasn't what he thought he was. I know this was a failure, but you think what that might have been for his ministry? Do you think he could have had compassion on people that was under him? How could Peter have ever condemned somebody? You know what I'm saying? How could he have not cared for the people that he had to go to the altar with? The people that he had to pray with that said, "I wanted to serve the Lord, but I just, you know, when that temptation came, I just couldn't speak up for him." And old Peter, I imagine, said, with his arm around him, said, "I know, brother. I know. But this ain't the end of the story. It's not over yet." Now Peter was out at the palace, and damsel came to him, saying, "Thou was with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied before them all, saying, "I know not what thou sayest." You ever imagine things like this? What did that feel like? What do you think that felt like for Peter? I don't think the words hardly got out of his mouth before he was pricked. I'm not saying it was strong enough yet for him to do anything about it, but he was in a great controversy. This is going to hurt. You know, failures do hurt the sensitive, those that we want to serve the Lord. It hurts. I want to encourage you, it ain't over. You know, failures is not the end. It can make you stronger. It can make you better. You can have a testimony. God changed this. God worked on this. It isn't a disgrace to say, "I had this problem and it was reoccurring, and God, the mighty God, had mercy." And we all will say hallelujah. Boy, do I understand that. Thank you, Jesus, that you're willing. Thank you, Jesus, that you made a plan to help us with it. I'll be honest with you, I've had failures. I know what it feels like. It hurts. I know what it feels like to not want to give God the glory that he's deserved. I know what it feels like, but I'll say through it, become stronger and more appreciative of the Lord that he not only saved me, but he come back, and when I wasn't worthy again, he still had mercy on me. I have mercy on you too. There's victory, but sometimes through failure is the way we go for it. It's a human way sometimes. I tell this story to the glory of God. I'm not trying to say it any other way. It's the glory of God. But I like telling the story. But there was a long time I wouldn't tell it. But I can tell it now. And you all, probably many of you, have heard it. I've been saved about a year. And I wanted to be saved. I love the Lord. And so my first wife and I, we were saved and living for the Lord. And in relationship, there's always friction. I know I'm trying to say it the way we want to say it. Sometimes you have a disagreement. You might even say a fight. Sometimes you don't get along. You don't see things. And I know what my heart was. I acted right. You're supposed to act right. So I acted right. Every time something would happen, I'd act right. But they started building. But I just act right. Then one day I'm driving down off of Miller Mountain, coming into Webster Springs, the little town we lived in, coming down through there 55 miles an hour, and me and my wife was into a discussion of friction. And all of a sudden everything that the years held of me acting right come boiling out, and I go just slammed the brakes on and went sliding down the road into a wide spot, just overheated completely. Totally ashamed of myself. It hurt. How can I be saved was what was in my mind. How could I possibly? Why go on and pray or do anything? Acting like that? Folks, I didn't act like that when I was in sin. I controlled myself a lot better than that. To just act that ugly and dangerous and out of control. It was a huge failure. I felt so bad. I felt unsaved, unworthy, just as well quit. But couldn't find it, no place to quit. I knew what the world was and I didn't want it. Well, I ended up going to the altar. Brother Tony went to the altar with me and I told him the story and I still remember him saying, Brother Marty, that's not the way you do it. Obviously, it's not what you do. Obviously, it was a huge failure. You know, God forgave me of that. You don't have to let that be the end of it. It's a story that I can tell. And when somebody goes to the altar and says, Brother Marty, I completely blew it. I did this and this. And I say, yeah, brother, we've been there. I'm going to tell you what you do. Find grace of God. You can find the grace of God in those. Don't let it boil over on you. Do you know that you can take care of everything every day? You can take care of the issues of your life and get grace for them daily. You don't have to let them build up on you and do that. Well, I've learned a lot over the years about serving the Lord. I imagine Peter had something really here that was dynamic to the church to give understanding this place. They all did it, but just it's Peter that's pointed out by the people saying he was close enough. Said, but he denied him. I don't know him. He said, and when he was going out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto him that were there, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, he denied with an oath. Oh, it's getting worse. I do not know him. Now, it's just a denial that you could have almost said, well, maybe it wasn't too bad to now that there's an oath put with it. He's getting further away. After a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse, to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. Now Jesus had told him that before the cock crew that he was going to deny him three times. So now Peter's reminded of the words of Jesus. Right here, he denied it. He denies it with an oath and it's getting stronger. You know how people are that they feel like the louder you squall or the more indignant you are, the more it proves your point. It's not true, but it's the way you feel about it. If I can act like I'm angry enough and mad enough about it, they'll believe me. He puts on the show. It's a colossal failure of the Spirit of Christ, of what Jesus was about. It was a colossal turning down of the one he loved. This is a failure, folks. This is a major failure. And the cock crows to remind him what the Lord had said, and it said, and Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. I know the feeling. I hope you feel it. What he felt like from his denying of the Lord. He was put into a place and he did not have the spiritual strength to stand. He thought that he did. He thought that he was in the right place. But he had this big failure. You know what it's time now for Peter? You know what it's time, what time it is? It's time to go get the nets again. I'm a failure as a disciple of Jesus. It's time to go fishing again. It's time to revert back and just go back to what I was, because there's nothing left for me now. I've proven all that I could ever do right here with that. Jesus is going to be crucified. Going back to the fishing, it is all that I'm doing. You know, Jesus never intended for this to ruin Peter. Peter, this is what you're going to do. But you wait. Then when you're converted, when you're going to be changed. Things are going to happen. Peter was a main character of the New Testament. And it wasn't a lost Peter. The failure did not take him to destruction. It actually was a stepping stone to a greater faith in God. He now understood something. I can't do this by myself. What's going to happen when I try to do it my way? It's going to be a madman sliding into his white spot. When I try to do it my way, it's going to be a man out of control, cursing and swearing that I ain't there. What this says is that all of our failures speak of the same thing. It speaks of where we're at. Lord, help us. Failures ain't the end of it, folks. Whatever failures you may have or may get in your life, or the weakness that you have, it shouldn't be the end of it. It should point and say how much I need the Lord. There's another character in the Bible that had a massive failure. I'm just going to go tell a little of the story, but if you want to read it, probably Second Samuel, I think, 11, is David. In all of his victories, he loved God. From a youth, he had faith in God. God had done things for him. He believed in God and all of those things. Sung songs, wrote songs, stood honorably. I want you to think about this. Saul chased him unjustly. And David was anointed to be king, and he ran from Saul. And there was on two occasions where Saul was right there. And then men said, God has delivered him into your hands. Right there, Saul. And David says, no. God anointed. I can't touch God's anointed. And he refused to take Saul's life. His enemy that was chasing him, trying to kill him, he would not take his life, even though he could have made the argument, God has delivered him, he's right here asleep. But he would not touch his anointed. So he was a man of God. And he cared about the things of God, or he wouldn't have took that position. But there come a time that we had a colossal failure. Colossal. There's hardly anybody in the scriptures that done a worse evil than he did. I mean, you think about it. He took another man's wife. Then he has the man killed. He's a murderer, an adulterer. He's a liar. He's out. He had a colossal failure. I'm going to tell you, there's a part of his life that isn't explained out that I can't help from thinking was miserable. There was a time between there that he had great victory with God, And there was a time there that he was a rascal and he knew it. You don't think David knew that he was away from God? He'd failed. He failed big. He gave in and he failed. But it doesn't have to end with that failure. In the 51st Psalm, the margin here says a Psalm of David when Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. You know, I love this scripture. There is an earlier scripture that relates to true repentance like this one does. I've heard many people that done things that really hurt other people. And their view of it is God forgive me and you need to too. And if you really forgive me, you'll forget about it. But that's not David's attitude. David's attitude was that I've done a horrible thing and it is always before me. It needs to always be before you. Something of that nature. I know that it has to go on, as Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. He had some terrible mistakes in his life too that he had to overcome. And he had to put some of those things behind and press towards it. But it doesn't mean that I don't remember. That I will never do that again. I am not going to just take the attitude that you ought to get over it because I have done evil. I have done bad. You think about the idea that Uriah may have had family members. About everybody has a mother, maybe a brother or a sister. And just tell them to get over it. Paul tell the people that, you know, he persecuted even women and children and they stoned Stephen, and you don't think there's a time that Paul may have preached and had family members of them right sitting there? You guys get over it. How about I'm always sorry for what I have done? God has forgiven me, but this is a true state of repentance. It's a true heart. David here has a true heart. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done evil in thy sight. Thou makest me justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. And in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. David is looking now, I believe, and he's looking at the very nature of what caused him to do it. I need to be clean in the inside. It's not enough just to do the routines of the law. Lord, I need something. It was a longing for the day that we have. It was a longing for the day of Christ's mercy, of grace of God, of the Spirit of God. He longed for, cleanse me, make me white, clean me up inside. That I don't have to do those kind of things. You know, a failure is a push for that. I just noticed something about me. I need help. Don't allow a failure to stop. David, in the scriptures, was the high water mark for all the kings that followed him. He was a man after God's own heart. He sought God's own heart. When it come down and he shows the example. It wasn't Saul that showed the example of what to do when you fail. Saul's example of doing something in failure is a horrible example. David's was a true repentance. It isn't the end. As Winston Churchill famously said, we will never, ever, 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 ever quit. Never give up. Never, ever, 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 ever give up. Keep going. A just man falls 7 times. I may have a failure today. I may have one tomorrow. But devil, you're not going to get me on it. I'm going to continue on. I'm going to be in this thing all the way down. Yeah, I may have to keep going back in the seats. I may be back in the corner. I may just barely get in the door back in the corner. But I'm not quitting serving the Lord. I'm going to keep going. Lord bless my soul. And I'm going to tell you what. He wills. Honest heart. A contrite and a broken heart I will never despise. Oh my God. No way is he going to despise that desire. Lord, I want to live for you. I want to make it. Yeah, my nature is outspoken. I say things too quick sometimes. Lord, help me. There's been people that's had to just apologize a few times. There's people that apologize more than others do. But you know what? That's the heart. I'm going to go right on. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me. I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me. Oh, this is a prayer for us, folks. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Oh, that was his prayer of what he had done. Change me inside that I don't do that. Change me this thing that caused it. Create in me, clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. You know, you can't hardly think about David that he didn't think about the honor that he had gotten for being a servant of God. The reason he ascended the ladder of success was because he was a little shepherd boy that trusted in God. And when God looked for a king, he looked down at a little shepherd boy and said, there he is, because his heart is after God. And he came and he had success the way he could testify. A lion came and a bear came. And I got victory over him. And then right on down, there come time to face the giant when none of the men of war would, a little shepherd boy did, because he had faith in God. His heart was after God. God looked and saw him and he ascended the ladder of success because God kept putting his blessing on him. Putting his blessing on him. It wasn't David that took the giant. It was God's spirit that took the giant. David admitted it. And he kept ascending and he got to the place, you remember, the women come out and danced and said, Saul's killed his thousands and David his 10,000. He ascended to glory in their minds. David was a real man of God. God had his hand on him. What it must have felt like to have fell that far. Of somebody that was honored for their integrity with God. For their respect to God. For their songs that they wrote. And glorifying God and singing praises. And it's his word that I esteem above my necessary food. And and now you're a murderer, a thief and a liar, and an adulterer on top. That's a fall. But it's not the end of the story. Amen. His whole story is made up of a section of his life of a great failure overcome. And he taught us to repent. He taught us that God's mercy is great and that God will accept a repenting heart. Yes. After failure. There's no need to allow a failure to be the last thing of our story. God wants to use that in one of the captions of our life, but he doesn't want it to be the story. He wants the story to end with victory. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me. Listen, I know this feeling. I know what David was talking about. It says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Lord, it used to be so sweet. It was so good. And boy, it's really hard for me to feel that right now. When I went sliding into that place and for the time after that, of that kind of failure, I wanted the joy of my salvation back. I wanted to feel God's presence in my life. I couldn't feel it. I know what he's talking about. Lord, I miss that. You know, I don't think that started when Nathan came. I think the loss of that was after he started committing these things. It was no joy left. Return the joy of my salvation till I can stand up and say, thank God I'm saved. I'm saved and the Lord has brought me through another time. I had some failures, but God is good. God can deliver out of these failures in our lives and give us victory over these things so we can look it at the rearview mirror and say, I see it back there. It is a long ways in the distance now. And now what's left for me is the testimony and help that I can have for other people coming along behind. That our God is a forgiving God. And He is a merciful God. And if we turn to Him in our affairs, He is just, the scripture says. He's faithful to forgive us our sins, failures, whatever we want to call it, however they're defined, whatever they really are. The Lord wants us to come in a true heart. Lord, I don't want this to be the end of the experience. And so it can be like the Apostle Paul said at the end of it, I fought a good fight. Part of the fight back there was wrestling with the devil over some failures and over some humanities and over some things. But I fought a good fight. I finished my course. Of all the things that was there to make me doubt, to try to pull me away, to do all those things, I have finished. The course is over. And with all of it, wrestling with the beast at Ephesus, he called him, the false prophets, the different things that come in that he fought and struggled with, he said, I have kept the faith. I was snake bit. I was shipwrecked. All these things happened. I got 39 lashes a couple of times. Saved me one because I was Roman. All these different things that happened. But through it all, I kept the faith. I still believe. Don't let failures take your faith. I tell you what I've always said about it. The failure is mine. It's not in God or the plan. The failure was mine. It's where I didn't live close enough to the Lord or live my life in such a way that I had victory. The failure is mine, but there's a remedy to failures. I want to leave that with you today. There's a remedy to failures. Don't let them take you. Pray for me.